The Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, especially as we talk to all of our new listeners in Great Britain, throughout Europe, and different continents right now, because we have expanded program all across the world and heavily into the United States of America. The reason we expanded, well, it's twofold. Number one is, what is our goal? And our goal is to communicate the multidimensional reality of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and then look at everything that's happening culturally, scientifically, financially, etc., through the optics of Bible prophecy. Now, when I say that, if you're new to the program, what you need to understand is that the way I teach the Bible, first of all, is based on this fact that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. It is our ultimate foundation, our ultimate reference point, our ultimate truth in deciding all matters. So, for example, if somebody comes around and says they have a supernatural prophecy and God told them this or God told them that, or they had this dream or that dream or whatever it is, and that's all well and fine. However, every so-called supernatural prophecy, and I believe in supernatural prophecies within certain parameters, but every supernatural prophecy has to be judged by the foundation and authority of God's Word from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So you can't have a prophecy that does an end run around biblical truth. If somebody says they're a prophet and they talk about some dream, vision, or prophecy they've had, and if it does not come true, whoa, there's a big, big problem. Because according to the Old Testament law, if a prophet made a prophecy, and it didn't come true, he was stoned to death for being a false prophet, because the rule in the Old Testament was that if any so-called prophet gives a prophecy and that prophecy fails to come true 100% as it was predicted, then the people of Israel, the children of Israel, had to stone to death that prophet for being a false prophet. And those were the strict conditions and requirements for being a prophet. Now, I'm not saying everything that is done in the Old Testament we should be doing in the New Testament. We're in a different contract with God. We're in a different covenant. But we got to remember that when dealing with the topic of the supernatural is not a bunch of Eastern mysticism. It's not a bunch of New Age, psychedelic, transcendental experiences. There is a supernatural component to reality. In fact, all of the reality that you and I live in is really primarily generated from a greater reality, a different dimension. So, you could say it like this, and it would be accurate. The current reality that you and I live in is kind of like a matrix. And you and I live in this matrix, or this virtual reality. And this virtual reality, or matrix that we live in, is composed of electromagnetic frequencies or energy being broadcast from another dimension into this dimension. And that is to say that this reality, this physical reality that we live in, is real. But the physical reality we live in is a byproduct of multidimensional spiritual energy. Now, when I start talking like this, and you're going to hear me talk like this if you're a new listener to the program, again, my foundation is the authority of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. If you're new to the program, one of my spiritual mentors was Dr. Francis Schaeffer, one of the greatest Christian theologians of the last 150 years, who enormously influenced my life. And his whole message, especially when he was alive and speaking to millions of people at that time, going back 40 years ago to Dr. Francis Schaeffer's messages, he constantly emphasized the need for true evangelical Bible-believing Christians to place their authority in God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, and not to place their final belief system in some kind of mystical, Eastern mystical, New Age, upper story leap, humanist philosophy with a few Christian bumper stickers on it. Now, that's where the evangelical church has deteriorated to an impotent state in our time. And just a few examples of that would be, well, first of all, if you go to your average evangelical church, megachurch, seminary, college, university, ministry, or whatever, you're going to talk to people who may be nice people, who may love the Lord, who may genuinely attempt to be doing what God wants them to do, but they're making a fatal mistake. They're reducing the lordship of Christ, and they're, I think inadvertently, I don't think they're totally aware of it, and they're also reducing the magnificence, the creativity of God. And we could go on a long list, and the summary of this list would cause you and I to conclude that one of the greatest mistakes of the evangelical church in America and around the world today is that it is not worshiping truly the God of the Bible as defined by the Bible. If you want to totally own, dominate, control, and enslave any nation, any people group, any culture, the method of conquest, the perfected highest level of conquest originated in ancient Babylon, at the Tower of Babel under Nimrod. And in ancient Babylon, at the Tower of Babel during the time of Nimrod, ancient Babylon was the world's first one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economic system. So whether you're an atheist, Buddhist, a Zen master, Catholic, a Jew, whatever you are, or a Christian, you should have this historical learning in the memory banks of your computer. The world's first one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economic system, the world's first embodiment of world order, began in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. Now, Christian universities, seminaries, churches, pastors, for the most part, never teach on this. They're clueless. They're in the twilight zone, which makes them weak and anemic spiritual battle, because knowledge is power. You don't have knowledge, you have no power. It is also one of the causative factors. You know, you've heard this data. 8 out of 10 kids from evangelical homes walk away from their faith in Jesus Christ by the time they enter college. 8 out of 10 leave their faith in Christianity. Why is that? And it's like a plague. You know why it is? because Christian young people, Christian boys and girls, Christians who youth, their youth, the only thing they're taught by the churches, the schools and stuff that are Christian, their faith, they are taught to build their faith on a weak foundation. When you add pressure to that foundation, it cracks and crumbles. They are taught kind of a half-baked humanist interpretation of Christianity, in which Christianity is just another good-feeling, mystical set of beliefs like any other false religion, like Buddhism, Hinduism, Zen, meditation, transcendental meditation, and contemplative prayer, and all the rest of the spiritual counterfeits. If that's all you're depositing in the hearts and minds of your children and young adults and adults, when pressure comes upon them big time, which it will certainly do, we're in, as I said with the title of my book, make no mistake, we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind through the world. So when the pressure comes, they have nothing inside of themselves to raise up a defense for their belief in the Bible, their belief in Christianity. They don't have any logical, rational, historical, economic, philosophical, biblical, theological reason for believing in Jesus Christ as truth and believing the Bible as truth. Therefore, when their humanistic or radical leftist professors or backslidden Christian teachers or whatever begin to teach them or apply pressure to them, they fall apart and they end up backsliding. And that's why you have a statistic of 8 out of 10 kids from evangelical homes, by the time they enter college, they will walk away from their faith in Christianity. That is absolutely tragic, tragic. It is horrific, disgusting before Almighty God that so many generations of young people in America, Europe, European, around the world, so many generations of young people have been allowed to be indoctrinated, brainwashed, mind controlled by the educational system and the radical humanists who control it. And in this spiritual battle, Christian parents and so-called Christian ministers and leaders, for all practical purposes, have abandoned young children, young adults, to the wolves in secular humanism. Okay, so the bottom line is Christianity is truth and not a religion. So, let's not beat around the bush. Whether you're new to the program or you're not, every one of us needs to hear this. And this is how it goes. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But you have to know the truth. And he didn't just mean spiritual. He meant you need to know the truth and be set free in the areas of spirituality, theology, psychology, biology, medicine, politics, governmental structures, marriage, family, community. Every sector or sphere of life should be built upon a biblical worldview, because a biblical worldview is true. So, for example, if people are being intellectually honest, which they're not, they will strut around and say that there's no such thing as a biblical God. There's no such thing as creation. God didn't create mankind. He didn't create the Garden of Eden or planet Earth. Everything you see, every person you see, okay, we are all simply the products of random chance evolution, which simply means that over 300 million years, purely by random chance, as one pebble, banged into another pebble on the dried up seas of Mars millions of years ago, and all these random little interactions with nature and the elements. Eventually, after 300 years, by pure random chance, man and woman evolved. And they're, according to the humanists, there is no intelligent design. Everything's by random chance. That is absolute nonsense. Just based on statistical analysis, that is statistically impossible to happen. There's no proof that it happened. That's why it's still called a theory. Notice it's not called the science of evolution. It's called the theory of evolution. But you see, when you indoctrinate young people to reject the truth of Christianity in the Bible, you pry them open to be seduced by the false teaching of crazy ideas like evolution, which is a complete fantasy. But you're giving your children over to a complete fantasy. Now, you say, Paul, why would the school systems, the media, the globalist elite, and all these other globalist organizations, going way back to ancient Babylon, where they created the first one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, and new world order, but God comes down from heaven to check out the people of Babylon, because he knows, he's omniscient, he knows everything, and he knows that inside the hearts of the people of Babylon, they are becoming Luciferian. They want to be God, and they're worshiping God at the Tower of Babel. So God judges all the people of ancient Babylon. And the way he judges them is he splits them into separate independent nations, and he confuses their language by giving every nation its own different language. Then God scatters these independent nations across the face of the earth. So God judges the world's first satanic new world order, judges the global government, judges the global religion, judges the three, one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. And you have to remember, knowledge is power. So if you don't know these things, and most people don't, and it's pathetic that Christians don't, when you don't know these things, your lack of knowledge sets you up to be a slave. It sets you up to be subjugated. It sets you up to be ruled over. Why? Because knowledge is power. And if you don't have knowledge, you're weak. And if you're weak, you'll be conquered. And people who are conquered are subjugated. This is why Aldous Huxley, one of the glowing stars of the globalist elite, who wrote the book Brave New World about a scientific dictatorship where they created their so-called futuristic dictatorship and Brave New World with genetic engineering. They scientifically bred worker people, manager people, and then the elite people. And they completely, through drugs, electronics, scientific mind control, created a dictatorship with no God. And then you have the Rockefeller man, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is also a Secretary of State for several U.S. presidents. And Brzezinski, in his book in 1976, called, in 1976, he openly talked about this. He called for the use of psychotronic weapons on the people. That means electromagnetic frequency weapons or silent sound weapons. Brzezinski, a member of the elite, called for the open usage of psychotronic weapons on the masses to control them. And that included, by the way, electronic mind control. So in his book, Between Two Ages, he openly calls for mass surveillance. This is in 76. He openly calls for psychotronic weapons, and then he openly calls for a scientific elite or a technocratic elite, which are the same thing as Aldous Huxley's scientific dictatorship, to rule the masses. So the idea of these global elitists who are with us today, the people who are behind the shadow government, the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world, when they're among themselves, and not only even that, they bet on the stupidity of Americans, Europeans, and people all around the world. That's why they openly publish books, they openly have television interviews, they openly publish magazines, they openly, they're not hiding what they're doing in any sense of the word. They are openly revealing and discussing and showing to the masses precisely what their dark agenda is. They're not hiding it. And if you read the writings of these key leaders, the Rockefeller, who recently passed away, he financed a lot of this. Rothschild, the Illuminati banking families in Europe. You know, you need to get really up to speed about all this, because knowledge is power. Ignorance or stupidity will make you a slave. Do you know what Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, said when he was making a speech at the University of Berkeley in Southern California in, I think it was 1961. Either 1961 or 1965. He's giving a speech to some of the most prominent neuropsychiatrists in the world. And you can see it on the internet. It's in black and white, the original speech. I also have key quotes in my book, Conquering the Matrix. I have key quotes in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, and Mass Awakening, and the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds in the World. Where they openly, they're not hiding it, they openly say what they're going to do. And Huxley was giving this speech to the elite among neuropsychiatrists, the heads of the think tanks at Stanford and MIT, the mind control scientists. I suspect some of these scientists who helped bring MKUltra to the United States of America after World War II, psychiatrists. And when he was giving all these people his speech, he said these words, and Huxley said these words. He said, in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, we will be able to program people so perfectly that they will have no idea whatsoever that they have been thoroughly programmed and brainwashed. And if we have scientifically programmed or brainwashed them properly, not only will they love doing all their duties as our slaves, Huxley said, but they will be joyous and ecstatic about, they will think it's a privilege to be our slaves. They will love their slavery, Huxley said. He said, we can program them to love to learn their servanthood, their slavery. Why do they say this out there in the open? Because they know through demographic analysis the cultural traits of evangelical Christians, Catholics, Christians, Bible-believing Christians, atheists, every group under the sun. And they happen to know that Christians, like many, many other groups, are not readers, are not thinkers, and are not hungry for knowledge. They're not hungry for truth. Yeah. The globalist elite and the scientists who by which they run the world with, they know more about the Christian culture through analysis and study than Christians do. And they know that not only the Christian culture, but many, many other demographic groups in America will not even know you're printing the plan openly of how you're going to destroy them. They won't even read it. They won't do anything. They will stay. They know scientifically that the middle class, the working class, and the evangelical Christians, I know a lot of people don't want to hear this. It makes you angry. I'm not here to insult. I'm not here to be arrogant or look down on it. I'm just telling you the facts. If you continue to be married to a false theology where you think that by being stupid is a fruit of the Spirit, guess what? You're on the path to destruction. Read the book of Proverbs. That's just one among many books in the Bible. And notice how many times God exhorts with fierce strength to his people. He's saying, get knowledge, get wisdom, get guidance. God is imploring his people so that his people can not be victims, so that his people can fulfill their prophetic destiny. Yes, that's what it's all about. Because right now, we're in a time zone of Bible prophecy. Perhaps more Bible prophecies in our lifetime have been fulfilled than at any other time in history. As such, God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, occupy until he comes, spread an authentic biblical revival around the world. But in order for God's people to do that, they are going to have to acquire a knowledge of God's word, Old Testament and New Testament. They're going to have to acquire wisdom and knowledge and guidance with an aggressiveness. It's only when they do that, obey God, then God can trust them to pour his power, his wisdom, his strategies, his vision through his people. It's only when he trusts you that you will not just allow the knowledge he gives to you to fall to the wayside. When you've established a trusting relationship with God, he will give you a divine download of such a plethora of wisdom in so many subjects, all centered spiritual biblical truth, that you will have been downloaded with the power from on high, dunamis, to rock the world. Yeah, there's a pause. You know why? Because I'm thinking, if that's the case, and it is, if God's word is true, and it is, then why is it that's in so many places of power in America and around the world, the people who are rocking the world are people who are disciples of Karl Marx, the communist, and communism and Marxism, which everywhere it is allowed to flourish, it murders millions. People brings total poverty, takes away all people's rights, and gives them not a worker's paradise, but allows them to live in a living hell. So why are young people especially flocking off to see? When you look at the history books, you look at the videos, there's so much data readily available that shows you just what a nightmare communism and Marxism. So why the disconnect? Why do we have this disconnect? Well, in a moment, I'm going to share with you the secret. The secret to why we have this massive disconnect and what you need and what I need to do about it so that we can experience the power and freedom of wisdom and the release from captivity that acquiring the power and learning of wisdom gives us. And it's only a secret because people don't bother to look for it. It's actually sitting there right in front of us. All we have to do is reach out and possess it. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. go to our website, and you need to get the books to get up to speed. I offer the books as cheaply as I can. If you're buying more than one book, we have what's called book bundle discounts. Now, regarding everything we just talked about, let's call these books, all of them, the Founders Edition on the Founder, Paradise Mountain Church, Baltimore Street, Founders Editions. And let's, when you read these books, like The Day the Dollar Died, The Greatest Battle for the Heart and Mind, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, Mass Awakening, like you can have a global dark satanic awakening and full awakening, which is happening right now, or have a mass awakening built on God's Word. I have so many books that will help you, like Conquering the Matrix. You read my book, or just read a couple of chapters from Conquering the Matrix. You'll know in 5 to 15 minutes whether you yourself have been hypnotically programmed, or a loved one has been programmed, or brainwashed, or any, or under any form of mind control. This is not like just frivolous discussion. You have to know the truth in order to be set free. So you go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us. As you know, there is a battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And without going into specifics at this particular moment, our ability to communicate was jeopardized. So was that ability of hundreds of thousands of other people. And in this battle, there are people who want to, by any means necessary, silence the truth, the voices, the message of people that communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ or analyze current events through a biblical worldview. You know, some people are at war with the truth. And people who are at war with the truth want to block the light that the truth brings. So you need to go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us, and you'll notice as you scroll down the page, we've added a whole bunch of new platforms, different outlets for audio, video, television, radio, broadcast. We've added quite a few outlets. And it's imperative that you go to paulmaguire.us, you copy those outlets, you copy those links, you write them down, you actually try them by clicking whatever one you want by going to paulmaguire.us. And I mean this, you write it down and you keep it and you keep abreast of it. You do the same thing with us that you would do with any ministry or author or whatever that you want to hear on a regular basis. Why? You're being proactive. And that way, you don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden, which has been the case with a lot of my friends who are well known in the world of that, they disappear off the air. Some never come back. And you can't find them because the way you used to find them has been rigged. So the only thing you can do is be proactive, copy the links, write them down, know them. I'm serious about this because in the last 4 months, I can't tell you how many people that I know and you probably know went to watch one of their videos or their audios or radio or whatever. They were gone. They were taken down. Hundreds and thousands of hundreds of thousands. Now, the only way you can beat that is you've got to know what the alternative sites are. You know, I can envision this, and I don't want to be unkind, but I can envision the emails and letters that I'll be getting. People, I don't know how to get you and stuff. Well, believe me, I want you to listen. But you got to do it now. You know, it's a lot. It's a bigger problem when your roof has got a leak, but you wait till a major storm comes to fix it. You know, that's not smart. Okay, so I want to go to PaulMcGuire.us, which I'm doing right now. We were taken off a particular platform. We don't know the exact reason why. It's never given. That's not the issue. The issue is, George Orwell, Brave New World, thought police, thought control, dominate. You control the minds, you dominate and control the people. That's what's going on here. Don't be asleep at the wheel. Okay. So at PaulMcGuire.us, on your internet, scroll down the page. Bam, it says the Paul McGuire Report, a logo, a picture of me wearing a tie. And then right below that, you're going to see the pictures and lists of all the new outlets we're on. Now, you've got to copy this, paste it with the links, write it down, and check them out. Like, you click different ones, like, okay, like you click the Roku or whatever, it'll take you to Roku. You've got to do this because it's just a matter of time concerning most people you like. That means people who speak the truth. You're going to try to watch our audio, video, or somebody else's. They're not going to be there. You're going to do what you used to do, which you, your search engine or any search engine, try to reconnect with somebody like us. And guess what? The search engine will mysteriously not be able to find us. You've got to get the links now. I cannot tell you the seriousness. You know, when you talk to people about this, if you're too intense, they tune you out. If you're too ho-hum, they fall asleep. I'm just telling you that there are major. You know, I've been researching all the stuff that we talk about. I'm not a Johnny-come-lately. I've been researching, writing, speaking, doing television, radio, conferences on all this stuff for over 40 years. I'm not a Johnny come lately. I've met with personally a significant percentage of all the major Christian leaders, basically America, people that you would know and respect. I am known and respected by major Christian leaders all over the world. Some unrespected by, but they went to heaven. But that's okay. So you need to do this. You need to spread this. And not just for me. I'm not asking this just for Paul McGuire. You need to do that if there's a source of information or truth that is helping. You need to do the same thing regarding that source of information. So you can do this by going to PaulMcGuire.us. That's PaulMcGuire.us. Now, we have our Roku channel. Hundreds of hours of Bible prophecy teachings and messages I've given Paradise Mountain Church. You know, I can't name every single thing that we're on, but we're on from, we're all over Great Britain stuff right now. Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, YouTube, BitChute, Brighteon, Odyssey. I'm going to keep going on, but you've got to write it down and do it. This is your protection. Okay? Also, you want to read the books. You know, Elon Musk, I was reading something that Elon Musk was saying, and he attributes his intelligence, his creativity, and his success, he attributes it to the fact that he was a big reader of books when he was a young boy. He read science fiction books and every other kind of books. He would spend hours a day reading books. Man, I related to him instantly because as a child, I would spend hours a day reading books and science fiction books. Learning neuropsychiatrists, learning scientists will tell you that the book, not electronic learning, the book is one of the most powerful modalities for learning and expanding, increasing your intelligence. You want to create a stupid kid? Pat him on the back and give him a free ride on the internet all day long. The reason is when you're reading a book, you're engaging the senses of your eyes. Then you're interpreting through the senses of your eyes the written symbols called words. This increases the neurological pathways or highways in your brain. Sometimes when you're reading, you'll say or speak it. So now you're engaging even more sensory modalities. So the book and the word as a form of communication and knowledge and truth is unparalleled. Reading a book will give you 10 times more wisdom, guidance, knowledge, and retention than just listening or watching or hearing somebody else do something. There's no substitute for the multi-level usage of sensory modalities in reading a book. You say, well, Paul, you know, I never heard that before. Yeah, because you're watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. That's why you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm dead serious. Yes, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm dead serious. Learning experts. Why do you think God, the smartest being in the universe, the supreme being, who is omniscient, all-knowing. Why do you think God chose above every other form of communication? Why do you think God chose the Word of God and the Bible, which is the Word of God, as the most efficient, the most effective, and for God, the Word of God is God's priority above all other forms of knowledge and wisdom and learning? According to God, the Word of God is above all of them. There's something about the Word of God that releases far more power, energy, wisdom, and intelligence than other modalities. You think, oh, that's, well, God didn't have the advantage of his cell phone or his laptop or, you know, other electronic communication. You've got to be kidding me, right? You've got to be kidding me. If God thought that those electronic means of communication were superior to the word and to reading and to the book, he wouldn't have communicated to mankind through reading the word of God or a book or the spoken word. He would have used electronic communication. God used what was, in his opinion, the most effective and powerful means of communication and learning known to mankind, and that is reading the written word, reading a book. So when God communicates to us all of his great truths, notice that of everything available to him, which is everything, he chooses to communicate in a written form in what is called the Word of God. And the Jewish scribes and the Jewish priests meticulously translated word after word, sentence after sentence, carefully. They would hand transcribe it and have one person check it and double check it and triple check it, quadruple check it, et cetera, as the written word of God was passed down generation to generation. Not only that, Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. So the word of the Bible, the word of God, is not just a word. The word of God in the Bible is also, on a multidimensional level, Jesus Christ himself is the living embodiment of the word of God. Jesus Christ is the word become flesh. God is smarter than man. I hate to break it to you. Bezos probably has the most expensive yacht and the most expensive running shoes, but he just doesn't have it in the brain compared to God Almighty in the Bible. The same with Zuckerberg and the others. God chose the Word, a book, the Bible, the written Word above all other modalities. So when God decides, because he's the supreme being, he's the creator, capital C, when God decides to create the world, notice that God used psychotronic weapons and psychotronic technology like Brzezinski is advocating? Did God use nuclear energy? No. God created everything that is, including human beings, by speaking it into existence. That's not some cute fairy tale, Cinderella, you know, Saturday Night Live at the dance, little antidote. It says in Genesis 1:1, the first book in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God is the creator, capital C. Now, how did he do it? What modality did he use to create creation? How did he do it? God said, and God saw the light, that it was good. But right before God saw the light, God says with his mouth, speaks with his words, let there be light. Everything that comes into existence by the way of God speaking it into his existence. So God's word at any level, spoken, written, when God says something, that's God's word. When God says something, then it has to come into existence. Whatever God says has to come into existence. So it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. His words, God's word, created the light. And he said it was good. And it talked about creation of stars, and the waters, and the dry land called earth. And then we keep reading over and over again, like in verse 11. Then God said, once again, God's word, God speaks, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, or species. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. It just keeps going on about what God says, and whatever God says comes into existence. So what's happening is that God lives in dimension beyond space and time. God can be here on the earth anytime he wants to. But God's eternal dwelling, and where God dwells now, is in a dimension called beyond space and time. You and I live in this physical dimension produced by the fall of man. We live in space and time. God lives outside space and time. And so what God does is he creates everything in this, in the physical dimensions that we live in. Everything that exists or that has been created by God's word, physical dimensions that we live in, come from the spoken word of God. And we see that God is the creator, capital C, and man is the creation, lowercase c. Then it says in verse 26, then God said, God's word, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness, let them have dominion, or rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, we see a bunch of things. One is God is creating everything outside of the physical dimension reality. God exists beyond space and time. The throne room of God, depicted in the book of Revelation, exists in eternity, which is dimension beyond space and time. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith, if you're born again, then when you should die, you will immediately leave your body here on earth, and you will immediately go to be with the Lord in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in a nanosecond, you will appear in heaven before Jesus Christ. You'll look at his eyes, he'll look at you, and you will be in your brand new eternal body, or your brand new, perfect, glorious body, or what is known as a glorified body. And you're going to live forever and ever and ever. And you will get back what Adam and Eve lost when they disobeyed God. Adam and Eve lost. God gave Adam and Eve the charge to be the king and queen of planet Earth, to be the rulers of planet Earth, to be the rule and reign over planet Earth. In other words, Adam and Eve were not God. Only God is God. But Adam and Eve ruled over the earth and ruled over the Garden of Eden, and God gave them the full supernatural power to rule and reign, exercise dominion over planet Earth. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, this is critical that you own this truth, not just know it, not just you think you know it. When you know this truth, I promise you something. When you know this truth, it'll rock your world, and you will never be the same. Your wife and children, your entire destiny will never be the same. Because you see, what so many Christians don't understand, but you understand, or you're beginning to understand, or you wouldn't listen to Paul McGuire, what so many people like you and others are beginning to understand is this. You know why you're beginning to understand it? Because you're hungry for the truth. You're beginning to understand that this world is a system of illusion, that this world is a virtual reality, that this world is a charade, that this world is a lie, that this world is a matrix reality. Yeah, otherwise, you and I, the reason you're tracking with everything that I'm saying is that you have already learned this, or you're beginning to learn. Now, the bottom line is God is God. He's the supreme being. He's the creator, capital C. He creates Adam and Eve to rule and reign, be the king and queen of planet Earth. Gives them the supernatural abilities to exercise dominion and rule planet Earth. Only gave them one commandment about what they couldn't do. They blow it. Adam and Eve blow it and disobey God's one commandment they couldn't do. When Adam and Eve disobey God's commandment, Lucifer or Satan, indwelling a erect reptilian serpent or serpent being, the serpent being seduces Eve, who seduces Adam to disobey God's commandment, and then pow. It's like somebody pulls the electrical socket out of the plug in the Garden of Eden. In an instantaneous nanosecond, the life force of God that is powering the Garden of Eden, that is generating the matrix reality, etc. It all goes into a degrade mode because they have activated the law of sin and death. Instantaneously, they release an energy force called the fall of man. They are dying. They are getting old for the first time. And the fall of man they are stripped of their rulership, their power, their dominion, their authority. The fall strips them of all their rulership and supernatural authority. The fall of man also gives Satan or Lucifer the opportunity inside of a cosmic power political vacuum. It gives Satan the opportunity to become the temporary god of this world based on delusion, lies, and deception. But right now, as you and I are talking, the fact of the matter is that we are still in under the fall, and that at this moment in time, so many, many, many years after Adam and Eve, Lucifer or Satan is currently the temporary god of this world, and the occultic, technological, magical, alchemical, scientific, and black physics techniques, along with sorcery and the technologies and secrets of Mystery Babylon, all of these things allow Satan and his fallen angels to rule and reign over planet Earth. Satan is ruling and reigning over planet Earth as the temporary god of this world. And Adam and Eve have lost their authority. Mankind has lost their authority. And this temporary rulership of Adam and Eve, along with the fall of man being activated, this temporary rulership of Adam and Eve by Lucifer will continue on until the second coming of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, along with the armies of heaven. And they will come down upon earth, and first Jesus will occupy Jerusalem, turn it into the capital of planet Earth, and then Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven will invade the Valley of Megiddo, or Armageddon, and they will win the Battle of Armageddon. They will take, Jesus and his armies will take the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan, and throw them in the lake of fire with all those people who decided to disobey God and take of the mark of the beast, 666. Very sobering. Very sobering. But you can be ready for it. You can be victorious for it. But you have to release the mindset that will kill you. And instead, you have to embrace the truth. Because God's word said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind."